Welcome to our study of Hebrews chapter 13 here on the Radio Bible Course. Today we begin with verse 1. He writes, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never fail you nor forsake you.' Hence we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?' Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Oftentimes when we go on a trip, we sense the feeling of leaving, which our author seems to have experienced as he closes this epistle to the Hebrews. Remember the last trip you planned, there were final instructions to leave. There was the dog to feed, plants to be watered, the garbage to be taken out. Someone needs to bring in the mail, cancel the newspaper and milk deliveries, and so forth. Well, our writer, after this splendid epistle on the greatness of Jesus and his superiority to everything in Old Testament Judaism, has an assortment of reminders for these Hebrew Christians. In these 8 verses we have just read, we have at least 7 subjects which are practical suggestions for the life that pleases God. And the first one deals with love, brotherly love. He urges that love continue. That suggests that it apparently was present, but there was the danger of forgetting to love, especially towards some of those Hebrews who had become Christians and then were being drawn back to Judaism by the influence of the priests or by those teachers of the law. Some of these people were wavering in faith toward Christ. And therefore, the attitude of some of the mature Christians might have been to be harsh toward those people. So the exhortation to love continually would be very appropriate. And even though love is not mentioned in the next few verses, I think those passages are talking about love also. For example, in verse 2, he said, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Well, if you are hospitable to strangers, that's love. In the 3rd verse, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you also are in the body. When you consider another Christian who is enduring suffering or imprisoned unjustly, you associate with him in mind and spirit, and that is love. We are asked to do that. Now there's another love in this context. It says, keep yourselves from love of money. That is love's only negative use here in this context. Now many things are urged on the Christian in the New Testament, but none with more emphasis than to love. The noun love is found in the New Testament 81 times, and the verb 115 times. I think God is giving us a message. Love takes priority. Now, some Christians are very precise, and they put emphasis on accuracy, and I believe in accuracy also, but not more than love. The Bible certainly teaches against false prophets and false teaching. It warns against the application of the law to the Christian, but not nearly as many times as it tells the Christian to love one another. And that, of course, is based on what Jesus said the night before he was crucified. In John chapter 13, beginning with verse 34, he said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And John expanded on that when he wrote his first epistle in chapter 3, verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." In the early days of Christianity, there was considerable hostility from Jews. Then later, persecution came from the Roman government. Without the love of the brethren, who could stand, who could endure that persecution? Love sustained them, and it served as a reminder of Jesus Christ, who, a short time before, had set the example and lived up to what he said in John 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In verse 2, the writer gives emphasis to hospitality. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." This was not only important to the writer of the book of Hebrews, but also to that great apostle Paul. It was so important to him that Paul's letter to Titus gives hospitality as a required qualification for a bishop. That's in chapter 1, verse 8. Unless the leaders of the church were hospitable, the young converts might be without an example to follow. Hospitality is one visible demonstration of love, and the ancient world gave it high regard. The Jews had a list of traits that marked a good man. The first, hospitality to the stranger and visiting the sick. The Greeks also gave it priority. They gave Zeus the title, the god of strangers. The Greeks believed that Zeus protected travelers and strangers. Now, in the first century, many Christians traveled to preach the gospel to the whole world. And because the inns were disgraceful and filthy, the homes of believers were places of rest and refuge for the night. This practice of hospitality is reflected in the third epistle of John. Listen to what is written here. "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name," referring to Christ, "accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, that we may be fellow workers with the truth." Well, this same epistle gives us a bad example of hospitality. It focuses on a man named Diotrephes. And by the way, that name is given to an unfriendly dog. Here's what it says in verses 9 and 10 of 3 John. "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." We, of course, can realize that without open doors to Christian homes, those travelers would be subjected to immorality and discouragement in the ends of that day. So we ought to be hospitable. Now, ask yourself, have you ever been to a church where someone invited you to dinner or to their home so they could get to know you better? Many people in church, of course, are not strangers, but some of them are. But do we even invite friends from our church? Do we show hospitality toward them? Hospitality ought to begin at home. It ought to begin with the family of God. We ought to be friendly with one another and open our homes to people. Now, the author of Hebrews wants these people to know that hospitality is so important that in ancient times, some people actually entertained angels without knowing it. That's what he says in verse 2. One of those is perhaps Abraham. We read about him in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. And he said, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant.' 'Very well,' they answered. 'Do as you say.'" Who were these three persons? Well, from chapter 19, we know who two of them were. Chapter 19, verse 1, talks about two angels. They were among the three. And Abraham was hospitable to them. They were total strangers. The Bible tells us of a couple of believers in Jesus Christ who entertained a stranger, and he was more than an angel. It's found in Luke chapter 24. These were two of the disciples traveling to Emmaus. A stranger came along, overheard their conversation, how they were discussing the crucifixion of Christ, and asked some questions. The Bible tells us that their eyes were prevented from recognizing this stranger. And as they approached the village where they were going, and he acted, that is, the stranger acted, as though he would go farther, they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus Christ, and he vanished from their sight. What a wonderful thing to show hospitality to a stranger and have him turn out to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't suppose there are any other disciples who had that privilege. Did you know that there are many people who think they have to be good to get to heaven, and they are trying very hard to accomplish that? They haven't heard that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.